I want you to put your imaginations to work and imagine that Christmas Eve, you're with the shepherds, you're gathered around the fire, and you're putting your hands out there. You're one of the shepherds, and it's warm, and it's quiet, and peaceful. You're really enjoying yourself. All is at peace. Or is it? I want to invite you to join me as you turn in your Bibles to Luke, the second chapter. And as you're turning there, I want you to understand the setting of this story, the real Christmas story. And we've asked Darcy to share with us Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. We're going to look at the setting of this story. Listen as Darcy reads Luke 2, verse 8.
Same regions, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night.
Thank you, Darcy. Young people, as I get into the message today, I want to remind you there are two words or phrases that I want you to remember, and you count how many times Pastor Ken shares that. Get a little piece of paper, maybe mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or a friend can remind you of the number of times that Pastor Ken mentions these words. Notice, don't be afraid. I'll mention that word a few times, don't be afraid. And then the other one, stress. Whenever Pastor Ken mentions those words, don't be afraid or stress, you just write a number one, a little, all those, and you can add them all up. At the end, we'd like to know how many times we've said that. Catch the picture. Enter into the story. Like you're studying this story for yourself, your private time alone with God. It was one of those sleepless nights, waiting and listening and watching. Every muscle in their body was at red alert. And they gathered there around that fire, and they were listening to the crackle of the fire. I like to do that, don't you? And they were listening to one another's conversation that night. And yet, also, their ears were tuned away from the group of shepherds at times. Every so often, they would glance outside the fire, and they would glance and look out into the darkness that surrounded them. They were listening. They were wondering what was around the edges of that fire. And the conversation that night, well, it had a whole gamut. Well, first of all, I would think they would start with talking about sheep prices. Today, we would not necessarily talk about sheep price. We'd talk about the gas prices. But they talked about the sheep prices. And then, of course, I mean, even to this very day, and back then, they talked about the weather. Yes, we must talk about the weather. But ultimately, you get into politics. What is Herod up to? Will the Roman soldiers take more sheep? They're watching, waiting, looking. We talk about politics today, don't we, as well? The presidential campaign, the war. And then finally, we realize as we consider the world that we live in, the ultimate solution is that the promised one, they think of the promised one. They talk of the promised one. The world that they lived in was in a real mess. It was in a real mess. And there was only one solution to this problem. And so their thoughts went to heaven. They remembered the promises of the Word of God. They held on to those promises. God's Word has made a promise. A Messiah will come. A Messiah would come. We must hold on to the promises. We must hold on to the promises. Now, I can relate to those shepherds standing around that fire that Christmas Eve. Can you? Our world that we live in today is in one big mess. Amen? It is indeed. And what the politicians may promise, and they'll promise a lot of things, but as far as I'm concerned, I vote for Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. And like those shepherds, my thoughts ultimately, as I consider the world and the challenges and the problems all around me, my thoughts ultimately and your thoughts ultimately come, I just sense more and more Jesus is going to come again. Jesus is coming again. And not only is Jesus coming again, he must come again. We need him to come again. This world is in one big broken mess. He's just got to come. And like those shepherds, we too find hope in the promises of the Word of God. But yet, all that while, as they were talking, there still was the reality of the world around them that they were living in. There was that sense that tightness, that awareness, that the uncertainty of the world that they lived in. And it was in this setting that the real Christmas story took place. The real Christmas story. And all of a sudden, something happened. Something happened. Their hearts raced. Their palms began to sweat. Their muscles began to shake. And something was happening. And they didn't know if they should fight or flight. And now we're ready for Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, the Christmas story. Listen as I read it again. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." We love to hear the Christmas story, don't you? I enjoy it. I look forward to it. And in this case, the shepherds, the sheep, the angel choir, but this Christmas story, right here from the Word of God, is much more than the story of the shepherds and their fireside talk and their fears and their expectations. I think this story from the Word of God that is there for us to read throughout the year is speaking to us in this 21st century. This Christmas season, 2007, and the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist Church. It talks to us about the experiences that we are going through. Constantly, our anxiety-provoking events. You've been there. You've done that. Can you relate to these shepherds? We too have a tightness at times in our stomachs. We too have been experiencing tension in our neck and our shoulders at times tense. But it's not because of the robbers that are at the edge of our fire. Today we call it stress. Stress. Our lives have been moved into the fast lane, the rat race. And it seems like it's getting faster and faster. And I thought, I was told that when we got into the computer age, things would start to slow down. I don't know about you, sometimes I begin to think about the good old times. Stress. Stress is what you feel when the demands of your life exceed your ability to meet those demands. And so the tightness and the worry begins. And it is a noted fact, would you agree with this? It is a noted fact that stress during the Christmas season becomes a national epidemic. It really does. For us as of adults, I wonder what the top stresses are in our lives. Now and throughout the year, and especially during the Christmas season. What are some of those stresses in our lives? Anyone here dealing with stress at work? What about our finances? Around the Christmas time, is there stress in regards to our finances? The demands and the expectations of what you can give and what you can't give? What about the family? Any stress there? Illness, loneliness, loss. We're going to do some traveling. Who are we going to invite for Christmas? Stress. For some, the Christmas holiday is extra. Extra energy, extra money, extra work. It just doesn't quit. And some of you are getting stressed as I'm talking about it. Friends, we can relate to those shepherds out there in the field. They were stressed, and we have experienced stress as well. But not only as adults, but friends, even our children. Even our children. It used to be that those little ones, quiet, in their minds, in this world, they had nothing to be stressed about, nothing to be afraid about. Mom and Dad have everything under control. But friends, we live in a different time and a different age. Outside our house, 7 o'clock in the morning, you can almost figure it, isn't it right, dear? 7 o'clock in the morning, the bus comes by. And we step out and take our walk in the morning. But not only at 7 o'clock do kids meet the bus, but some of them have to meet it much earlier. That's a lot of stress to get up early in the morning. And you add on to that the shuffle of schoolwork and parents' work and schedules trying to put it all together to attend this sports event and this project and this activity and of course, the Christmas programs. And this is what I want for Christmas. Let's go to the store tonight. I've got to buy this for this person. There's the latchkey kids after school and what they are involved with. And then we have kids going to daycare. And these kids do not see their parents during their normal waking hours. How would you like to be a young boy or girl living in a home where there's only one parent? Or maybe both parents, and they hear them almost daily arguing with one another, and in their little minds, they're thinking, are mom and dad going to divorce one another? Our children are under stress today, aren't they? Stress is more than just dealing with fear. Someone put it this way, stress is fear on cruise control. It's constant. It's there. It's working and at us, never leaving us. We're afraid. We're afraid at the ends. We're afraid in the middle. By the way, if you looked at the church sign, you thought that Pastor Ken and James misspelled a word again. But we put it there for a reason. Don't be afraid. A-F-R-A-Y-E-D. Because friends, that's where we're at today. That's where we're at today. Christmas 2007. We are afraid. Stress has impacted our lives. It has, hasn't it? It has impacted our sleep. And as a result of it, some of us have headaches. We have back aches. We have high blood pressure, heart disease, depression. In fact, it is figured that, now get this figure, this is interesting, 60% of the hospital visits are stress-related. 60%, wow. That should give us an idea of how the rat race, the stress, has had on our lives. And so stress is real, friends. Stress is real. And I know you knew that even before I got up here to preach. I know you knew that. You've been there. You've done that. You're experiencing it even now. Remember, the angels said those words in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2 and verse 9. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were, listen carefully, they were stressed. They were stressed. It says they were sore afraid or they were terrified. That's the biblical word. But today, the word is stressed. And here's another word for stress as the verse goes on. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be stressed. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Today in the town of David has been born to you a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. You have your Bibles? Let's open them to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew chapter 14. That expression, don't be afraid. I would invite you, I challenge you, do a little Bible study over the Christmas season and find out all the places in the Gospels where that little expression is. You look it up in your concordance, don't be afraid, and you would be surprised how often it is used. And here is one of them. I think this is one of the many. The time when the disciples were out on the boat, and the storm comes up, and it's a rough storm. And the waves are just beating them to death. And they're going under. They know it. Here they are fishermen. They've been in the sea before, but they're going under. They know it any time. And they look into the eye of the storm, and they see a ghost. And talking about stress at a high level. Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 27. Michaela, I want to ask her to read that. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27.
But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here."
Now that is a stress buster. That's a stress buster. No, not necessarily the words, "Don't be afraid." You know, anyone can say that. You know, don't be afraid. It's easier said than done, right? But look at the passage again. Look a little closer here. "It is I." Would you circle that, those of you that mark your Bibles? It is I. That's the word. That's the stress buster. It is I. Jesus, it's me. Don't be afraid. Or as the angels on Christmas night said, "A Savior is born to you." That is the stress buster. Remember this. Where Jesus is, there is no need to be afraid. Where Jesus is, there's no need to be afraid. Afraid, A-F-R-A-Y-E-D. Oh, maybe you're asking this question during the Christmas season. How does one put this into practice? I pray that you've come here more than just to hear a message and to go through the motions, friends. I pray that you're asking, "Lord, how can I apply this to my lives? How can I not only apply it to the Christmas season, but to my life?" Matthew chapter 11. Turn there in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 11. Let's take a look at a verse that talks about it. It really does. Matthew the 11th chapter. Don't be afraid. Don't be stressed. It's I. It's me, Jesus Christ. How does one actually practice the presence of Jesus? For where he is, there is no need to be afraid. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 through 30. Listen as Lance reads that verse. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30.
"Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light."
Amen. Thank you, Lance. Glad to have you back home. I want to take this verse and give you a little Williams paraphrase, just at least the first part. You won't be surprised when you hear me say it. "Come to me, all you who are stressed, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Isn't that what a frayed-out person needs? Would you agree with that? Don't we need that? We need rest. Rest. Rest from the wearisome burdens that tackle us day in and day out. The never-ending to-dos as we enter home or go to work. They're there. How do we come to Jesus today, during the Christmas season, year 2007? To find rest? That's the question. He says it right here. "Take my yoke." How do you take that yoke that Jesus describes here in this passage? It's easy. He says this yoke is easy. How do we unload our burdens that are weighing heavily upon us? Is this where you're at, friends? By the way, most preachers, if they're honest, and I want to be honest with you, they prepare messages, and they share messages because they're having the same challenges. This is where I am at as well. I need this as well, along with you. How do we pick up Jesus' light burden so we won't be afraid? A-F-R-A-Y-E-D. I want to share with you what you could call, in a sense, a vision statement. It's just a brief little statement that just is something you want to keep in your mind. Very simple, but it's something you hold on to. In the refrigerator, on the front of your refrigerator of your mind, it goes like this: make Jesus first. Write it there, okay? Make Jesus first. You remember the words that Jesus gave as he met with his disciples there on that hillside, the Sermon on the Mount. And towards the end, he said these words to them. They were afraid. They were stressed as well. Therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Are we going to have enough money? Are we going to be able to help this person? Are we going to be able to make it through this? Are we going to be able to do this or help that? For after these things the Gentiles ask, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows already. He knows it. Remember that. Hold on to that. Now, if we were to stop right there, we'd get kind of the philosophy that would take a hold of a song way in the past. I don't remember it, but it was a song in the past. It went something like this: don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. But that's not the stress buster, friends. That's not the stress buster. The stress buster is, don't worry, be happy. Anybody could say that. But Jesus continued his theme. It's right here. Here's the stress buster. It is this. The next verse, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see what this is saying? Do you see what it's saying? Not, don't worry, just be happy. No, no, not that, but rather, don't worry, seek Jesus first. Make Jesus first. That's the stress buster. How do we do that? How do we do that? I know it is easy just to say these words, but yet to apply them on a daily basis, that's a different story. You see, the good news of the Christmas story, friends, is much more than the fact that it's a date on the calendar and an event that we remember once a year. It is much more than that. The Christmas message, friends, is this: you don't have to be afraid, because the baby has been born. Not just any baby, but the baby, Jesus Christ, has been born. There is hope. There is hope. He has been born. Now there is hope. I want to share with you some simple things that you and I can do to move aside stress and to sense the presence of Jesus. Number one, our time alone with God. Our time alone with God. How's it going? How's it going? Are you stressed? How's your time alone with God? I would encourage you, spend some time in the Gospels, getting to know Jesus. Put yourself in the stories. Put yourself in the experiences of those stories. Put yourself as one of the characters of that story. Let Jesus' picture of his Father impact your life. And as you do that, friends, you will be practicing the presence of Jesus. You will sense his presence more and more. Take time to get to know Jesus Christ in his Word. Here's another one. Discover God's plan for you and me. What is his plan for you? What is his plan for me? Think about this. Some of us may be practicing it, though we don't like it. We are thinking maybe his plan for us is it to be stressed, to be afraid. Is that his plan for us? There are some of us here today who are stressed. And we're afraid. Listen as Carly reads John the 14th chapter and verse 27. Powerful words. Carly, would you read that?
I want you to have the same peace that I have. I'm not talking about the peace that the world gives, but peace with God. You don't have to be afraid of God. He loves you.
Amen. Thank you, Carly. There it is again. Now listen to this one, a wonderful promise to claim. Isaiah 41, 10 and 13. Anita, if she would read that.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you.
Amen. You see, God's plan is that we allow him to take responsibility for that. I'm learning that too. I pray that you're learning it as well. He is the one who says he's going to deal with stress in our lives. He is only asking us what? Seek him first. He's only asking us to seek his peace, not the world's peace. He's only asking us to take hold of the right hand of his righteousness. Now, what does that mean? You ever read that before? It's over and over again in Scripture. What does that mean, to take hold of the right hand of the righteousness of Christ? Well, I have a book in my library. Maybe you do too. It's called Ministry of Healing. Beautiful book on Christian living. And on page 182, the Christian writer says this, quotes, by prayer, by study of his word, by faith in his abiding presence, the weakest of human beings may live in contact with the living Christ, and he will hold them by a hand that will never let go. Amen? I like that, don't you? Here's number three. Spend time with God, not only in prayer, not only in Bible study, simple Christian everyday life, but also in praise and adoration of our God. Oh, remember this promise, Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 6. Haley, would you read that for us? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6.
I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault.
Praise the Lord anyway. Be glad and thankful. How is that possible? How do we practice in our everyday life? Christ Object Lessons, a book on the parables of Jesus, one of my favorite books, maybe yours as well. There's a paragraph there, 299 and 300. It says this, quotes, to praise God in fullness and sincerity of heart is as much a duty as it is to pray. Now, we see the importance of prayer. It is also important that we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. Listen to this. Our efficiency would be greatly increased. Wow, I want my spiritual life to be greatly increased. What about you? I need that. Our efficiency would be greatly increased by recounting his goodness and his wonderful works in behalf of his children. These exercises drive back the power of Satan. They expel the spirit of what? Listen to this. The spirit of murmuring. Anybody have a problem with murmuring? And complaint. Anybody have a problem with complaining? And the tempter loses ground. Is there anyone here that needs this today? To praise the Lord? To praise the Lord anyway? You see, God is not saying here, just don't worry, just be happy. That's not his message. He is talking to us here. He's giving to us practical, down-to-earth ideas, how to sense his presence, how to trust him, how to hold on to his promises. I remember the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Let me read them to you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. It says to be joyful always. Pastor Ken, you don't understand. Yeah, how can I be joyful always with the person I have to deal with at work? Or that person I have to deal with at school? Or those people I have to deal with at church? How can I be joyful always? Or you don't understand, Pastor Ken. I'm driving, and I've got to get somewhere. I've got this agenda to conquer, and yet there's this person that's in front of me, and they're so slow. Kind of happens during Christmas, doesn't it? Be joyful always? How? How? It's right there in the passage. Pray continually. Pray continually. What are we talking about? It means this, to have and sense his presence, to acknowledge everything you do and where you are, that he is there with you. Talk with him. Express to him. Tell him, Lord, that person is really slow. Please help me to be patient right now. Help me to know I'm going to get there. The word stress was not defined until the 1930s, and it's quite a story as to how that happened. But the Bible's antidote for stress has been there all along. It's been there all that time. You see, when we continue to choose these spiritual disciplines, praying to him, talking to him, seeking to form a relationship with him through Bible study and prayer and praise, friends, this is when, listen carefully, this is when we're slipping our heavy yoke. You got a heavy yoke? We're slipping our heavy yoke off our shoulders, and we're allowing his light yoke onto our shoulders. That's when it happens. And we're, during this process, as we're seeking to form this relationship with the Lord, taking time to get to know him in Bible study and prayer and praising the Lord, what else happens? We're holding on to his right hand of righteousness. Can you and I afford not to be holding on to his right hand of righteousness, friends? And at the same time, friends, we are choosing Jesus's peace and not the world's peace. Stress. Don't be afraid. A-F-R-A-Y-E-D. We're all going to find ourselves here at some point in our lives, haven't we? And we will. Just like Martha in Luke chapter 10. Now it happened as they went and entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she called her sister Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. She was stressed with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, Ken, Bill, Sam, Jill, Anetta, whoever you are, put your name in there. You are worried and troubled about many things. You are stressed about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. Were the people in the Bible times different from you and me? No. And the way to cope with stress hasn't changed to this very day, to the year 2007, friends. Are you ready? Are you ready to put into practice God's antidotes to stress? The angel, that Christmas Eve, was right, wasn't it? Don't be afraid. Don't be stressed. You are not alone. Jesus has been born. There is hope. And friends, when we have hope, as long as we have hope, there is hope, and we can hold on, and we can not give up as long as there's hope. Amen? God has given to you today this message. It has been given to you and you and you and me, just for you and me. Don't be afraid. How is that possible? How is that possible? How does a Christmas story tell us? Behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Let's pray. Father, we can relate to the shepherds that first Christmas Eve. We too have been stressed. But your word has given us hope in this time of trouble. The baby, Jesus Christ, has been born. God is with us. Forgive us, Father. We get so focused on our problems that we neglect to take Jesus' easy yoke. We neglect to hold on to his right hand of righteousness. We neglect to seek Jesus' peace. Father, We have been reminded again this Christmas Sabbath that our problems that we have are really not our real problems. It is forgetting the presence of Jesus. And so, Father, we would dedicate our lives this Christmas season to focus on your gift to us in Jesus. In Jesus' holy, precious name, we sing this song. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. God bless you all.